I missed you guys. It is good to be home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home for sure. And but I'm really pumped to be able to share with you about what my last 2 weeks look like. Very excited. You know, we're continuing. We're actually finishing our series this month on Shine. Shine. Is that Paul and Melanie I see? Is that Paul and Melanie? Can't see. Paul? I know Paul. Who's there? Oh, nice to see you. Nice to meet you. Paul, just from this side, it looked like Melanie. Okay, very good to have you guys with us. Paul, it's been forever since I saw you. Good to see you. So we're finishing up our series on Shine Around the World, and I feel like I've got something to say about it today. I've got something to say about it. First of all, the point I want to share with you is Jesus told us to go. Go, right? And so some of you haven't heard the story about how Natalie and Carly and I ended up going to Isle of Man. How many of you never knew that was a country until we went? Yep, I know, me too. In fact, there were some people I was talking to right before the trip, and I'm like, I said, I was going away, and they were like, where are you going? I said, Isle of Man. They go, is that really a country? Yeah, I'm going. I know it's a country, right? But I want to tell you how it is that we came to go there. About 2 years ago, Josh Jacobs is his name. He and his family live on Isle of Man. And he came and had service with us one Sunday morning because work brought him here for a couple of weeks. And he Googled churches, Solon, Ohio, and found us. And came and fell in love with us, and we fell in love with him, and he went over and hung out with the Gilmore clan all day on Sunday. Then he went to Monday night Bible study, and some of you got to know him there. So we've been in loose contact since then. Back in January, he private messaged me on Facebook, and he said, I've had a dream that I think is from the Lord, and I want to share it with you. He said, I submitted it to my pastor, and we've been praying about it, and I really feel like I'm supposed to share it with you. In the dream, you and some people from your church were at a conference at our church on Isle of Man. And he said, I just want you to pray about it. Here's some links you can check out. There's this one conference we host that's called the 412 Conference. And he said, I really feel like you're supposed to be there. Well, he sent that message to me while I was in South Carolina helping my mom after the passing of my father. And so I basically put it on hold until I got back in the office. And a few weeks later, I said, well, I'll look at that. So he had sent some links about it. And I started watching the links, and I could feel the Holy Spirit on me when I watched the links. And I knew that was God's way of saying, you're supposed to go. Now, you need to understand this about me if you don't know me. I do not like travel. I am not a petite little thing who fits comfortably in an airline seat. My knees are in my chest. If the person in front of me puts their chair back, which thankfully none did in 10 flights this time, but if they do, I can do this and touch their ear. Like, hello. I'm tall. And I'm full size, not fun size. Just saying, right? I don't enjoy travel, much to the contradiction of the fact that I've gone out of the country twice in the last year, less than 8 months. Crazy to me. That's crazy. But I knew God was telling me to go. And I am obedient to him because I trust him. Because he's never led me the wrong way. Ever. He's never sent me somewhere where it wasn't for my good, you see. And so I was like, I shared it with the elders. They all were in agreement with me. Yes, this is the Lord's plan for you. I started talking about it. I put it on Facebook, if you might remember. And I said, if anybody wants to go, let me know. And Natalie and Carly were like, we're in. And I'm like, yes, I didn't want to go by myself. So we took off to the Isle of Man. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus is talking and he says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. Everybody say, go.
Go.
and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we went. We went. I want to share a 2-minute video with you of what it looked like while we were there. And Natalie is a star of the video, I'm just saying. We were the only ones from the USA out of 650 people. So it was fun. Because when they said, USA, and we stood up, everybody clapped and they started going, USA, USA. I'm like, yes, right? It was a lot of fun. So here's what the conference
was. It's a wonderful experience to see the passion the people have here for Jesus.
I love the diversity that God is bringing to not only Living Hope, but also to 412.
Meeting all the wonderful people from around the world.
Just seeing like that unity amongst us all.
And the impact that God is having around the world, incredible to see.
One language, one heart, one mind.
These guys have come across the world just to be here with us. I'm really bowled over by that.
We are moving in power. We're moving in glory. We will not be diminished. We're taking the nations for God. He's got his hands upon you. He sees what he's going to do in you, but he needs to convince you to believe in you. God believes in you.
You and I get to choose the degree to which we encounter the fire of God.
We cannot do life without him. We cannot do life without the Holy Spirit.
Lord, would you fill me with the oil? I can only burn if you put your oil in me.
We have to make sure that we keep our hearts.
I'm going
to
keep on when I'm tired. I'm going to keep on because he kept on for me. I'm not going to stop serving my God because he's worthy of my labor.
I can speak the words, but if I can show the power of God, lives will be transformed. What would you give up to see the kingdom advance in your nation?
We are to be men and women of God who are on fire.
The fire of God.
Get the fire burning again and keep it burning.
I came to get fire, and that's what I'm after.
The fire, the love of Jesus.
It's great to hear the call go forth for others to get up and go and make disciples.
Just discovering more truths about Jesus, to really be challenged and to be strengthened together, is really good.
Just to think about all the different gifts, talents that we can all share together, advancing God's kingdom.
Jesus has a lot more that he wants to challenge me personally on, but us and as a movement.
Pray that people will open their hearts.
He's got so much more for us as a movement.
He's really speaking into our hearts.
Our worship is more than singing.
I want to see people jumping, praying, laying hands.
And worship is more than dancing. It's more than music.
Being more uncomfortable than being comforted by the word of God.
If you're discipling someone, bring the fire in discipleship.
But now the power of God is with us. Yes!
The only way that people will see Jesus is if he shines on us.
God is going to use your life mightily for his glory and his glory alone, alone.
Live out our Christianity and not just speak about it.
This doesn't just stop here today, that it grows into something really big and powerful.
Keep the fire burning.
Is that not cool? Ah, it was electrifying to be there. It was amazing to be there. Honestly, their worship team didn't do many different songs than what we do here. But imagine this, 650 people, and as soon as they say, let's stand for worship, 80% of them run to the front. Like, they ran. We were all like, whoa, the first time. They ran to the front, and there's a mass of people at the front jumping, and like Dave, 80% Daves. That's what it was. That's what it was. So it wasn't different in that they didn't have any more fire than we have. It was different in that 80% of the people were fully physically engaged in what they were doing, fully, like not holding back. But here's the thing I want to point out to you. When God says go, go with your eyes wide open. Because one thing that we all three experienced is we had to figure out how to manage our expectations. Honestly, I had this, I had several expectations, physically, spiritually, I had even financially. I had expectations, and none of them were the same once we got there. God did not do what I thought he was going to do. So when you go, you have to be willing to be flexible and manage your expectations. Because if you can't be flexible, then when God doesn't do what you thought he was going to do, it gets you all bent out of shape, and then you lose the moment. You lose the treasure he's trying to give you. Because you're like, no, I wanted this treasure. And he's going, no, this is the treasure I have for you. Do you see? There was sacrifice involved. As I said, I don't like to fly. I flew 10 times in 10 days. 10 times. Now, two of those flights were on a nice big airplane, right? And on the way home on the big flight, we actually got beautifully put in bulkhead seating. People usually pay extra for that. So we could stand up anytime we wanted. I was like, oh, I had a spiritual experience on the plane just getting bulkhead seating. Like, hallelujah, right? But there's sacrifice involved. Natalie and Carly used vacation time to go on this trip. It was nothing like a vacation. In 3 days of the conference, we went to church 12 times. We left the house that we were staying at in the morning around 8 a.m., and we didn't come back to the house until around 10:30 at night. There's sacrifice when you want to go. I know you saw the pictures on Facebook, and I love the pictures. I'm the one, you know, we all put some, I don't think Carly did, but Natalie and I put some pictures up on Facebook, and you see the pictures, and you're like, oh, that's so nice. How lucky they are they get to go. What you don't see is the cost. Financially, physically, emotionally, there's a cost involved in going. And let me tell you, I know in my heart, maybe more than ever, God is calling Oak River to go. He might call you to go to the nations. He might call you to go across the street. But he is calling you to go. But here's the thing. If you're going to go, you have to give up your comfort zone. I would say there was very little comfortable about what we did in 10 days. I'll just give you one little example. The first morning of the conference, we had pre-service prayer. It was amazing. It was great. We're in there. This was a leaders event. So for the first conference session, it was only leaders. So there was like 200 people there maybe. And they ask all the pastors to come up and introduce themselves. And my stomach goes, that is not comfortable for me because I know what's going to happen. I know. And I was right. And I turned to Natalie and Carly. I'm like, I don't want to do this. And they're like, it'll be fine. Just go. Just go. I'm like, I really don't want to do this. And they're like, just go. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. So I dragged myself up there. I'm not exaggerating. You can check with them. There was a sea of men. And Sandy. This is not comfortable for me. I don't like attention drawn to myself that way. That is not comfortable. When I say a sea of men, I'm talking about like 60 men and me. And I'm like, And some of those men don't even necessarily agree with women. They were very kind, very warm, very embracing. But they don't believe that it's right for a woman to be a lead pastor. And it's okay. It's okay, really, I get it. But you understand, I'm standing up there, smashed in between these men that I know they don't think I have a right to be there. You see? And I'm like, oh. And it's not like they're going, go ahead, like gentlemen. Like, no, They're manly men, like, you know, muscles and like, I don't even know how to describe it. But they're not like, oh, here's a nice lady. Go ahead. No, I had to muscle my way through to get to the microphone. I'm Sandy Phillips from Ohio, USA. You know, that's how it felt. That's not comfortable. They were very kind. They clapped. I mean, they were very kind and very sweet. But that was out of my comfort zone. Listen, if you come to Oak River and all you can think about is what's comfortable for you, at Oak River, you can never go around the world and shine. You can't go across the street and shine because your focus point is your comfort zone. We will never have the ceiling taken off of us as long as we're focused on our comfort zone. There is a cost to going. But in the middle of all of that cost, moments that you can treasure. I found myself standing on the highest point of Isle of Man. I put a picture on Facebook about it. Where on a clear day, you can see six nations from that place. I know there's something prophetic for me in that. That's a moment that I will treasure for the rest of my life. Being able to stand on that high place and look out. That day, we could see two nations, Scotland and Ireland, like, it was phenomenal. There's something about it that happens. In this conference, there were about 650 people, but there were 24 nations represented. Don't let anyone tell you Europe is dead. Europe is on fire for God. They're on fire for God. There are revivals popping up everywhere in Israel and in Europe. I was like a little jealous because I'm like, we need more of this in America. Like it was amazing. We met people from South Africa, from Romania, from Poland, all over Europe. Like where? India? Yes. Like there's revival fire. We were treasuring the moments. So I asked Natalie and Carly, Natalie first, to come up and just share maybe one or two of their precious moments from all the getting out of our comfort zone.
Fun. Hello. Okay. If anyone wants my autograph, you know, from this movie, I'll be outside. I'm just kidding. So this was the first time that I had been to a conference like this. So, and you know, when I was younger, we did stuff, but as an adult, this was the first time. So I guess I didn't really set any expectations as to what was going to happen. That's just how I am. I don't like, not that I was let down. I just don't like to set anything. I just want what's going to happen. But the first question that when we got there that we were asked was, what do you want to get out of this? Or what are you hoping to get out of this conference? And I hadn't really thought about it yet. So I guess the main one of my answer was freedom, freedom in worship and freedom like to trust in God fully without question and without thinking I struggle with thinking that it's in my head and not from him. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go into this and hope and pray for freedom. So I'm going to just share two separate things that happened and then a story that someone told at the end. But when I was there, so we're there, like she said, it was 650 people and we knew nobody. And so it was kind of awkward a little bit, but we were during worship and this random lady who I didn't even know, I don't even know her name. She didn't know my name. She came up to me after worship and she's like, you know, I was praying and I just felt like I was supposed to come over and say this to you. And so what she said, I'm not going to share it, but what she said to me was, I knew it was so clear to me that it was from God, because I had actually said like exact words of what she said, prior, and it had been something that I'd been praying about for probably like 8 months or so. So I thought that was really cool. And the second time, it was the last day of the conference, they asked if people wanted to go up for prayer. And I was like, yeah, I'm going, you know? And so I went up for prayer and, you know, obviously I was crying because I cry about everything, but was crying. And the next day, two days later, we went for a cookout, and this lady who I'd never met before came up to, or we were talking in a group, and she randomly just left the group abruptly, didn't tell anyone, and she came back with this long 2 sheets of paper for me, and she was like, "I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry I went away, and I felt like God wanted me to tell you this." And so this was weird for me because I've never experienced this kind of thing before. Like, people don't just randomly say, not random, it's from God, but I've never had someone share it with me before. So she read this paper to me that she felt like was from God, and it was what I went up for prayer for the day before. And it was like confirmation for me, because when I went up for prayer, I was struggling with knowing, like, if what I was thinking during that prayer was from me or if it was from God. And so I was actually a little bit discouraged about it. And she came and gave me that word, and it was like confirmation for me. So I think during that, what I learned the most is that both of those ladies had to be willing to do that. They had to be willing to step out of their comfort zone to come and talk to some random person that they don't even know how I'm going to receive it or how I'm going to take it. They had to step out of their what was comfortable, because God doesn't call us to be comfortable. One last thing was I was thinking, you know, about being willing, was that, you know, sometimes God's going to ask us to be willing to dip your toe outside of your comfort zone. I feel like we're in this box. He's going to ask us to come over here, or sometimes he's going to ask you to submerge your whole self out of your comfort zone. And I was just encouraged, you know, to be willing to do that. And I just want to end with this story that I thought was cool, so I want to share it. This guy, Andrew Selle, who is a speaker, he planted, I don't even know how many churches, like 100 or something, 5 million, I don't know. But he was speaking, and he shared this story about how he went fishing with his friends, and he wasn't catching any fish. He didn't bring the right fishing poles to catch the type of fish that he wanted to catch that day. And his friends were all making fun of him, like, "Oh, you're not catching any fish. I'm getting all these fish," you know. And finally, he got one, and it caught on, and he had to, like, go 4 feet out into the water up to his waist to get onto this fish. And the fish kept pulling him out. So he finally got this big fish. I don't even know how big it was. How big was it? He said it was huge. So when I think huge, I think, like, this big. But so he got the fish, and his friends stopped making fun of him and everything. So he's getting ready to leave, and he felt like God was saying, "This fish isn't for you." And he's like, "You know, I caught this fish. I'm taking this fish," you know. And so he's on his way home, and he actually goes out of his way 40 kilometers, which is, I don't know how many miles, but a long way. And he's doing all these turns and going, and he shows up at this person's house, and he gets out of the car, and he's like, "Okay, God, I hope this is from you, because this is about to be really awkward." And so he goes up and knocks on the door, you know, and he said, "Hi, I'm Andrew. I'm a Christian. This is really weird, but I felt like God told me to come to your house with this fish." And the guy starts crying, and he opens up the door, and the guy and his wife and their 4 or 5 children were sitting at the table, and they were like, "We just prayed for our food that we're about to receive, but there was no food there." And he brought the fish for them, and that just was like, he had to be willing to do that. And so again, for me, that story just resonated with me, because I guess, like, I want to be like that. I want to strive to be willing to do whatever it is, you know, God asked me to do, whether it's running to the front during worship, which I didn't do because I didn't feel like that was what I was called to do. But, you know, whatever it is, I just want to be willing to do that. So, yeah.
Okay, so the whole time preparing to go, just watching the conference videos, you saw one of them from this year, but the one from last year, the one thing that stood out to me the most was the worship, right? People running up to the front of the stage, jumping, dancing. And I remember thinking, I want that. I want that freedom. And so similar to Nat, when people asked her, you know, what do you want from this conference? I said the same thing. I said, freedom. And I remember during worship at the conference, just being so disappointed with myself, just because I didn't feel it in me to go up there. And it wasn't that I was holding back, that it was in me and I was holding back. I didn't feel it. And so I don't want to manufacture anything. So I felt so out of place and just really defeated. And just wondering, like, when am I going to get that time to be able to fully worship? And one of the evenings, Nat had a word for me, and she came up, and she said, I felt like God wanted to tell you that you're not invisible, that you don't have to try to be someone else, that he created you to be different, and that he meets you right where you are. And when she told me those things, I just started crying because I didn't realize that I felt that way until she put words to it. And I didn't realize I was trying to be someone else. I didn't realize that I was spending all my energy striving to get to a place that God wasn't calling me to in that moment. That he was right next to me the whole time, and I just needed to turn my head away from the crowd and look at him. And honestly, when she gave me that word and when I turned my head away from everyone else and stopped paying attention to what they were doing, I was able to freely worship. And it didn't look like everyone else, but it was freedom. But there's also, I guess, a danger in that if you think, like using that as a cop-out, right? Like if he's putting it on your heart to go up here and you're like, no, he's not. He's not doing that. I guess what I think of, if you think of a concert, a lot of people love concerts. I'm not really big on them, but a lot of people love them. And just think of your favorite band. They're about to get on stage, about to start singing. You're excited, right? And when they start singing, most people, they cheer, they shout, they scream, they jump up and down, they dance. Some of them rush the stage because they try to get closer. And I just think, do we come into worship with that same attitude? And I just, for me, we went to this really cool Airbnb one night, and I was so stoked about it. I was like, oh, look at that. That's so cool. Taking pictures of everything, just trying to soak everything in. And I just remember thinking, am I this excited to worship? Am I this excited to be in the presence of the Father? Because he might not be calling me to dance, but he did create me to be excited for him. Yes. Yes. And I don't want to stand outside when I can be inside worshiping. But I also don't want to be inside thinking it's just music and singing empty words, because it's more than that, right? I want to come into worship. I want to run into worship. Maybe not physically, but in my heart, in my spirit. And I want to sing with a fire and a passion for him. And I want to worship in a way that worships him the best, that I worship him the best. And this one guy at the conference, so the conference starts at 9:30, and he had said, if you know Jesus is going to be here in the flesh at 9:15 a.m., what time would you get here? And when he walked through the doors, would you continue on in your conversations? And I just, for me, it's, do I expect God to show up? And do I have a reverence and a fire and a passion for him when he does? And I just want to close with something that Doug mentioned up here. He said, we're going to chase after you like you chase after us. And that should be our hearts. Every time we enter into his presence, into worship, whenever, that should be our hearts.
They have so many more stories they could tell. So I encourage you to take them out for lunch or dinner or something in the next couple of weeks and say, tell me everything. I feel like I have so many things I could share. But I told you, I'll tell you just one, and then I'll move on to my second point, because there is a second point. you know, we don't usually go after noon, so today we are. Just giving you the heads up. We're going to go a little later than noon today, but you will survive a late lunch. I promise. We know. There were days we didn't have lunch or dinner. It's fine. It's all good. But I told you, I went up and with a sea of men, and I was so uncomfortable, and I didn't want to do it. But that day for lunch, I went to a pastor's lunch, and God ordained it that I met this lady and her husband who were pastoring in London. And when she knew that, when she found out I was a lady pastor, she was like, I would really like for you to meet my daughter. She feels like God is calling her into pastoral ministry, but she's been very hesitant because she's never seen it done. And I'm like, oh yeah, let's have lunch together, you know? So I got to sit with Shelley, who's maybe in her early 30s. She has such a call on her life, such a powerful call on her life. And as I was sharing with her some of my experience as a lead pastor, female lead pastor, she would just start crying. And if you know British people, they don't cry easily. They're not given to emotions very easily. That's a generalization, but I think it's pretty true for many. She would just start crying. And I just was able to encourage her in the Lord, like in a way that if I hadn't gone up there with the sea of men, would never have happened. You see? Like, it's powerful. It's powerful what you do when you're willing to step out of your comfort zone. One more little story. I can't resist not telling it. One of the sessions during worship, I'm standing there worshiping and enjoying it, and God says, the lady in front of you has pain in her left arm from here to here. And I'm like, okay, glad you can heal her, you know. He was like, no, I want you to go over and pray with her. I'm like, are you confusing me with Ken Hahn? Because I'm not. I love Ken, but I'm not Ken, right? He goes, no, I want you to go and pray with her. So I'm like, oh, this is not comfortable. This is not, what if I'm wrong? Oh, not comfortable, you know. And so there wasn't a good moment during worship where it would have been distracting to her because she was fully involved in worship. So I kept putting it off. You know how when God speaks to you and you just keep putting it off and you keep putting it off and you keep putting it off, and that's what I was doing. And I kept waiting. I'm like, God, if this is you, then just show me a good moment for me to go over and talk to her. And no moment presented itself in my eyes. And I'm like, okay, maybe I wasn't hearing from you, but I knew I was, but I didn't want to act on it, you know? And so, because it's easy to stand in front of you. I love you and you love me and it's easy, right? But going up to a complete stranger and saying, do you have pain in your left arm? That is not comfortable for me. And so the whole thing ended. I'm like, well, maybe I'm not supposed to. And I go and fill up, they have water. So I filled up my water bottle. And she's standing there by the water bottle, that lady, out of 650 people. Okay, loud and clear, right? So I said, hi, my name is Sandy. She goes, hi, I'm Susanna, Susanna with Z's, which I love her name. And I go, this is going to sound weird, but are you in pain in your left arm from here to here? And she said, yes. She said, I just had surgery 4 weeks ago, and she showed me the incision she had here and here. And she said, I'm on heavy pain medication right now. And I'm like, I just believe God wants to heal his kid, you know? And she goes, I said, is it okay if I pray for you? And she said, absolutely. I said, okay, well, what's your pain right now from 1 to 10? I did know that much. And I said, what's your pain level between 1 and 10? She said, oh, it's about a 5, but that's on heavy pain medication. And I said, well, can I pray for you? She said, absolutely. Her husband came over, Kevin. And so we joined together, and I prayed for her. And then I said, okay, what's the pain level now? And she goes, wow. She said, it's 0 here, but it's about 2 here. And she said, that's amazing because it's almost time for me to take more pain medication. I'm amazed that it's come down. She said, I still have some tightness here, but there's no pain. And the pain here is about 2 out of 10. And I was like, how? So we celebrated. And then I said, can I pray again? She said, yeah, sure. So I prayed again. The pain completely went away. Her wrist was loosened. She never took any more pain medication after that moment. This surgery that she had was supposed to take between 6 weeks and 6 months before she would be off pain medication. And I saw her 2 days later and she hadn't taken another pain pill. Can we celebrate God? Yes. Thank you, God. That wasn't me. That was all God. That was all God. But here's the thing. If you're going to go, Jesus said to go, but he also said to wait. And that's my second point. So, because some of us go before we wait. We're supposed to wait before we go. Just like I prayed over that message that Josh sent me and submitted it to the elders before I went, you know. We're supposed to wait. In Acts 1, 3 through 5 and 8, it says, during the 40 days after he suffered and died, Jesus appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said, wait. Now, this is after he told them to go. Now he's saying, wait. You understand? But you will receive what? Power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, that's where they were, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Here's the coolest thing. When you wait on the Holy Spirit, you get to move in power. You get to speak in power. You get to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth. That's what you get to do when you wait on the Holy Spirit. One of the things that moved me in the conference is that the Holy Spirit is saying the same thing all over the world. It is crazy. Like throughout 12 times of sitting in church, I would say nine, is that a fair amount? 8 or 9 times? Carly and Natalie and I would look at each other because the speaker was saying exactly something I've said in the past 3 months from this pulpit. Now, they don't listen to me, and I don't listen to them. But we all listen to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So be encouraged. It was such an encouragement to me that God is saying the same thing in 24 different nations. He's saying the same. Down to, remember, if you were here, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I did a teaching on discipleship and what discipleship looks like. Remember? The Talmud, remember? That message was spoken in one of the conference sessions. I've never heard that message in my life in 56 years. I heard it again there a month, 2 months after I shared it. That's only God, only God. The Sunday we went to church with Josh and his family, the speaker who was from South Africa, is that right? Brazil. The speaker from Brazil shared almost exactly my message that I gave a few weeks ago about the woman with the issue of blood. Same points. God is saying the same thing all over the world. Be encouraged by that. We are part of a grand scheme. We are not little old Oak River. We are part of something major that God is doing on the earth. We're part of it. But we want to flow with the Holy Spirit. One thing that really touched me there is every single service that we were part of, if someone in the congregation felt like they got something from the Lord, whether it was a song or a word or a picture or a dream, they would come up and share it with the pastor who was speaking that day. And the pastor would decide, yes, let's share that right now, or maybe hold on to it for later. Because sometimes God does something, and there's no shame in it if it's not supposed to happen in that moment. Maybe it's something for another time, right? They really were intentional about making space for the Holy Spirit to speak. They were very intentional about it. And one thing I learned on this trip is if you make space for God, he will fill it. If you make space for it. And that's not just me up here. That's all of us. If we make space in our day, like John was talking about, if we make space for our day, in our day for God, he will fill it. He will. And so I felt strongly to finish the message out today with an opportunity for us just to come to the front and say this to the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Today, I don't feel like we need to lay hands on anybody. We do that sometimes, and that's a beautiful thing. But I feel like it's more of a corporate saying, come, Holy Spirit. And when you individually say, come, Holy Spirit, He will come. Now, if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, that comes first, okay? And so I just want to, with eyes open and heads up, I want to ask if there's anybody in here who says, wow, what you're talking about is pulling at me inside, and I feel something on the inside that I need whatever you have. I need that in my life. I need that, and I don't have it. If that's you, be brave and raise your hand, and we'll ask you to say a simple prayer with everybody. Anybody? Anybody? Okay, then I'm going to assume you've all made a decision to follow Jesus. And if you have, you already have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But how much space have you made for Him? So I'm going to ask the team to come up and play some music for us. And I'm going to ask you, if you are willing to give the Holy Spirit more room in your life, in your daily life, I'm just going to ask you to stand and come to the front and just have some time with you and God. You and God saying, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Don't hesitate. Just come on.
Perfect in all.
before you right now, Oak River.